Attention, patriots. Broadcasting from the Free Zones, Radio Free Redoubt begins in 5, 4, 3, 2...
Tuned in to the voice of the American Redoubt. This is Radio Free Redoubt. I'm John Jacob Schmidt, your host. Hope you're having a blessed Sunday afternoon, evening, or for those of you listening on tomorrow morning's podcast on your commute, be safe out there. This is episode 1911. It's kind of got a ring to it, doesn't it? 1911. Well, I thought I would just take this opportunity to talk about the M1911 pistol, just because, for no other reason, this is episode 1911. That was my first handgun that I got. When I was 12 years old, working for the family construction business, and I saved up in that summer, and at 12 years old, you know, picking up scrap and being the gopher and making, I don't know what it was, $5 an hour. Well, I ended up buying a Mini 14. And then when I was 14 years old, I bought with the help of my father, bought a Colt 1911. Actually, it was the Combat Commander, a satin finish 1911 style. And, of course, my father and all of his friends, they all carried 1911s, and it's just what I cut my teeth on. I know many of you did as well. So, it goes back to my roots. But the M1911 pistol, also known as the Government or the Colt Government, is a single-action, semi-automatic, magazine-fed, recoil-operated pistol chambered for the .45 ACP cartridge. It served as the standard-issue sidearm for the United States Armed Forces from 1911 to 1986. It was widely used in World War I, World War II, the Korean War, and the Vietnam War. It was replaced by the 9mm Beretta M9 pistol as the standard U.S. sidearm in October of 1986, but due to its popularity among users, it has not been completely phased out. Modernized derivative variants of the M1911 are still in use by some of the units of the U.S. Army Special Forces and the U.S. Navy. Designed by John Browning. Did you guys know that? Did you know that was a Browning design? John Browning, the M1911 is best known of its designs to use the short recoil principle in its basic design. The pistol was widely copied, and this operating system rose to become the preeminent type of the 20th century of nearly all modern centerfire pistols. It's popular with civilian shooters in competitive events such as USPSA, IDPA, International Practical Shooting Confederation, and bullseye shooting. Compact variants are popular civilian concealed carry weapons in the U.S. because of the design's relatively slim width and the stopping power of the .45 ACP cartridge. That's what I just read to you from Wikipedia. They do get some things mostly correct sometimes. So there you go. It's a great go-to source, but you got to really check out your sources because Wikipedia is wide open. Anybody can go in there and edit and update information, right? So there are problems with that. We'll talk about here in just a little bit. Okay, let's get down to the news and commentary brought to you by the author Glenn Tate of the 299 Days book series and including all 10 audiobooks, which are out now as well, and you'll get a chance to meet him and Shelby Gallagher and myself and Representative Matt Shea and several others and several vendors at the Puget Sound Prepper Expo on March 30th, the day after Lexit, the Liberty State Exit rally in Olympia, where the Patriots are going to be gathering en masse behind the Iron Curtain in the Marxist zones, coming from the free zones into occupied territory to demand freedom. It's going to be really cool. Okay, now, let's get first to the first news story. You guys should be up on this, but Stephen from USA to oh my goodness, I can't stand when I do that. From Alerts USA, he says a couple of weeks ago when I was talking to him, there's this rising battle between Huawei. It's Huawei. I've heard it pronounced multiple different ways. And they make routers and, for internet routers and hubs and a lot of other electronic equipment. It's a Chinese company. And somebody gave me a book, Ghost Fleet, that was given to me. And I have it actually right here over on my desk, but I've not been able to break it open yet because I've been so busy working on Amron stuff for the last couple of months on the air every day, plus meetings and whatnot. So I'm really looking forward to reading that. The NSA director, Admiral Mike Rogers, referenced the book in a congressional hearing. So this sparked the interest of this Amron core operator who bought the book. Fascinating because it talks about this very same thing. And this is what Steve from Alerts USA was talking to me about. And here it is. Just came out on SMH.com. Trump advisor John Bolton warns of Huawei's Manchurian chips. U.S. President Donald Trump's national security advisor John Bolton says China's attempts to use think tanks and nonprofit organizations to influence opinion in the U.S. and Australia is far greater in magnitude than any other foreign effort we've seen in history. He offered a blunt assessment on China's island and military base building in the South China Sea, which was also talked about on Alerts USA in the interview, and raised concerns Manchurian chips in Huawei technology could be activated for espionage. Okay, so if you remember a couple of weeks ago, It was in the news where the director of Huawei said basically USA is no match for it. If it wants to play hardball, it can just, flip the switch on us. They're not the only ones with technology that can shut other people down, right? That's what he says. So now his products, this is the CEO of this company, basically saying we could totally own you in a heartbeat because so much of their stuff is in our homes, in our businesses, and all over the United States. What is he? Is he implying that there's some secret chip in there somewhere? This Manchurian chip, this little silicone chip in there, they can control everything. This is also covered in a kind of a B-rated, low budget, but it was actually, I thought it was pretty good for the budget they had to work with. It was called Dragon Day, if you remember that, where the Chinese activated all these silicone microchips that's in all of our technology and basically shut us down. It had the effects of an EMP. And then they came rolling in to assist with the humanitarian effort and started soliciting local police and stuff as their henchmen and, their local enforcers. It's kind of like what we saw when the Nazis would invade Poland or any other France, any other country. They would quickly build this police force and use locals to police their own. So that's kind of what this was based on. But it was all started on these Manchurian chips, this control mechanism they had. Well, Huawei has these in almost all of our homes. If you have one, swap it out. I mean, not saying that the next brand is going to be any better or doesn't contain it, but these guys are almost boasting of it. And we're like, when your enemy that you know has certain capabilities is boasting of his capabilities, don't be so arrogant and blow him off, because a lot of times enemies throughout history, from the Bible on forward, they've projected their intentions, and when they were ignored, the people who ignored them got their faces stomped in. Get rid of it. But the U.S. government says, nope, we're not going to use that stuff in our equipment. And so Hawaii is now threatening to file a lawsuit arguing that Congress is violating the United States Constitution by refusing to allow this communist-owned Hawaii company to have compete in contracts to have its electronics embedded all throughout our government and our military. How's that for you? The communists are using the United States Constitution to argue that they should be able to be allowed to do business with the U.S. military and our government. And you know what? As insane as we've become, I wouldn't be surprised if some judge somewhere, some previous administration appointed, previous president who will not be named, appointed judge declares that we have to allow them to use these communist chips from this director who's already hinted at their capabilities of shutting us down. Wonderful. Kind of along those same lines, solar flares. There is an article floating around, and it was posted on Amaron.com because it's from Amateur Radio Newsline. But it's titled, The CMEs Are Coming, like panic. But a tiny sunspot AR2734 surprised forecasters with a long-duration solar flare. The blast hurled not one but two coronal mass ejections, we call them CMEs, into space. Of course, neither of them are directly at Earth. But now people are starting to go, don't panic. This happens all the time. As amateur radio operators, we deal with this. These are so common, it's like yawn. It's like a 2.1 earthquake in California, right? It is just it's nothing. You feel the ground shake a little bit. Well, for amateur radio operators, it usually means that the high-frequency radio frequencies, the bands, what are called bands, are usually what we call trashed. And you cannot make a contact. You cannot reach another station for a day or two afterward. It doesn't affect really anything else, but unless you're involved in probably AM radio stations, they get scratchier and they just don't do well. You just got to kind of put up with it. So sometimes they're affected mildly, moderately. Sometimes you just really can't do anything on HF for a day or two, and then it clears up. So we see this all the time. And it's not the big one, all right? Now, this has the potential for a massive type of almost like an EMP type of an effect on our sensitive electronics. But don't be alarmed when you see these. When the big one goes, you won't be any mistaken. They'll be talking about it on the news and everything else because it's grandiose, and they won't be able to pass up talking about that one. So don't worry about this stuff when you see it. AP News. Let's talk about more EMEs, EMPs, CMEs, power going out, blah, blah, blah. Well, that takes us to Venezuela. They're experiencing the worst power and communications outage as of a couple of days ago still, and it still hasn't been fully brought back up online, only in a few places. But their outage deepened a sense of isolation, this article says. This is from AP News. A sense of isolation and decay, and endangering hospital patients, forcing schools and businesses to close, cutting people off from their families, friends, and the outside world. Of course, my response was, got comms? So I want to read a little bit of this article for you and then throw out a couple of nuggets here maybe for you to consider. And this is a tough situation because these people are already depressed, oppressed. They're already just driven into the dirt because of the failed socialism of Venezuela. And this one woman said, I'm desperate. She said that she hadn't been able to buy food for her three young children because she wasn't able to take money out of the bank on Thursday because of this electrical outage. Of course, as Americans, we go, aha, there's a lesson for you. You should have cash on hand. But you got to remember, Venezuelans don't have cash on hand because as soon as they get paid, they run right down to draw it out to hurry up and buy bread before their money devalues by another 100,000% in the next 2 hours. So they want to make sure they can buy two loaves of bread instead of a half a loaf of bread. So they can't have cash on hand. Very difficult situation on there. But anyway, of course, you know, the Maduro, the communist, is blaming it on those imperialist Americans sabotaging, not like they didn't sabotage themselves through their socialist communist management of their infrastructure. But anyway, the very bottom line is what caught my attention. This person says, this is a lawyer who attended a Women's Day rally in Caracas, which, by the way, has quite a bit of power coming back on in parts of the city, but sometimes it comes back on and goes back out. She says, I can't work. I can't do anything. I can't communicate with my family. Right? Well, in Amron, that's something that we really focus on is emergency communications. We've done so in real-world emergencies, helped people have a lifeline outside to call for help. And not everybody in your town has to get their ham license. But you want to, well, in all of these cases, including Venezuela, a few years ago, people were quoted as saying the guys with the radios, the ham radio operators, were the heroes in our communities because we could call for help. We could get news and information. It offered us hope. But before they stumbled across the community, local neighborhood ham operator, they were completely in the dark. It affected them greatly psychologically. So, you can do it. It's a great service. And we actually have some Amron operators that are scanning right now for any digital traffic coming out of there. There could be some packdoor traffic. We're looking into that. All right, let's move on. Let's go to out of Redoubt News. Several good articles there. This one's put out by Karen Schumacher. She's a regular contributor to Redoubt News and does a great job. Covering House Bill 162, the Idaho Council on Federal Lands. This is interesting because they're not – let me just read this first paragraph to you. House Bill 162, the Idaho Council on Federal Lands – it's just a council on federal lands – has passed the House and forwarded to the Senate Resources and Environment Committee for a hearing on Monday, tomorrow. The purpose of the legislation is providing for a legislative council on federal land issues so they can deal with federal land issues within the state of Idaho. The created council shall monitor and review policies and issues associated with federal lands in the state of Idaho. Federal intrusion into states has been a primary concern. Okay, so the Idaho Wildlife Federation, backed by environmentalist, the Yellowstone to Yukon group partner, and National Wildlife Federation affiliate, they're strongly opposed to the legislation because they prefer that public land remain within the federal government for management. But here's the thing. They're protesting nothing. They're like swinging at the air because they're not calling for the state to manage the land. They're saying they formed a committee. This legislation will allow them, this once it becomes law, will allow them to begin addressing some concerns and issues with – it establishes a liaison committee to work with federal agencies so they can better manage it because they're not managing it very well. The state isn't at this point saying we want to take over the management. They're saying we want a say. And you know what? They should have a say. It's their bloody state. What really should happen is the land managed by the federal government should be turned over to the states, like the Constitution says. But we're not at that point. That's too big of a bite for these people to take. The control freaks and the statists would just, their heads would explode. So one step at a time, form a committee, start working with these guys, wildlife management, wildfire management, all of this stuff. And they're just beside themselves. So we'll see where this goes. We're hopeful that this committee will, this legislation will pass, be able to form a committee and at least start having some input and some say over there in Idaho with the federal government management, the agencies managing that land. Okay, here's some good news, because you know how the statists and the control freaks and the chemical pushers are trying to say, you need to mandatory vaccines. It's good for you, whether you like it or not. Well, the Association of American Physicians and Surgeons opposes mandatory vaccinations. This just came out on aapsonline.org, saying this measles outbreak and federal vaccine mandates. Well, here's some excerpts, and thank you for the Ameron operator who sent this to me, or the Radio Free Readout listener who sent this to me. Here's some excerpts from this article. So here's the high points. It saved me the time of having to pour through this article. Governmental preemption of patients' or parents' decisions about accepting drugs or other medical interventions is a serious intrusion into individual liberty, autonomy, and parental decisions about child rearing. Hallelujah. It's so true. And this is coming from the Association of American Physicians and Surgeons. This is the type of group we would normally expect to hear the state knows best, follow, you know, big pharma, whatever. These guys are going, no, the risk, another quote, the risk benefit ratio varies with the frequency and the severity of the disease, vaccine safety, and individual patient factors. These must be evaluated by patient and physician and not imposed by a government agency. AAPS believes that liberty rights are unalienable. Where do these people come from? This is beautiful. Patients and parents have the right to refuse vaccination, although potentially contagious persons can be restricted in their movements, such as with Ebola. Yeah, exactly. It's called quarantine, which is a concept that we used to have tied in with our immigration system before we decided to just go globalist no walls policies. These are doctors and surgeons speaking what, I mean, you don't have to have a 12-year degree to know that this is common sense. Well, anyway, I'm throwing in my own stuff there. It can be restricted in their movements, example, as with Ebola, as needed to protect others against a clear and present danger. Unvaccinated persons with no exposure to a disease and no evidence of a disease are not a clear or present danger. Thank you. So the full statement was sent to relevant U.S. House and Senate committees 26 February. This is the first I've heard of this. This is just an awesome, awesome thing. Another awesome thing that's happening, bring it a little tighter, a little closer to home, over in Washington, Eastern Washington specifically, but not just Eastern Washington. Washington Strikes Back 1639. Their Facebook page is taking off like a wildfire. This is called a grassroots brush fire. Kitsap County, Benton County, Yakima County, Stevens County. I can't even name them all. I could sit there and go through their Facebook page for an hour trying to peel all of the postings and updates that people are posting about their county resolutions that their commissioners are publicly, I mean, they're making it official. This is where we stand as a county. We will not enforce these unlawful, unconstitutional laws. Of course, Governor Jay Inslee, by the way, announced himself as a candidate, the leading candidate on the environmental cult or the environmental lie or the environmental scam or whatever you want to call it. He's the head guy for that, so he's your candidate. If you swallow, hook, line, and sinker, all of the doctrines of the environmental cult, then he's your man to vote for president. But in the meantime, he's the governor of Washington, all of it, including Liberty State. Unfortunately, we're trying to change that. And the Attorney General, Bob Foygeson, they gave a warning to the gun dealers. You must follow the gun control initiative, see, or you're going to face the consequences. Well, they're talking about yanking their business licenses. So there you got a gun dealer. He's got a business license, trying to do business. The sheriff saying, we're not going to enforce this unconstitutional law. And the commissioners are saying, we stand against this. But the gun dealers will be required to conduct enhanced background checks. And you can't sell to a 18, 19, or 20-year-old adult, or you stand to lose your license. So these guys are up against the wall. Where do you stand? Now, somebody recommended, this might be wise for right now, to post it, post something in your store window. We are fighting this legally right now. We apologize for our 18 to 20 year olds. They are threatening to take our businesses away from us if we sell to you. So please know that we are fighting for you so that we can honor your constitutional rights. And we're exercising our constitutional rights in the legal system or join grassroots efforts fighting for you. Maybe something like that in your window might be helpful. At this point, I know you're going to have to draw the line somewhere, and you're going to have to say this is an unconstitutional law, and it's going to be an individual decision. Nobody can beat you up regardless of which direction you go at this point. So, and of course, there's an article we'll link to in the Spokesman Review about gun dealers must follow gun control initiatives. Well, remember a couple of weeks ago when everybody went, what? Sheriff Ozzie Knezovich from Spokane said he will not enforce these unconstitutional laws? Whoa! Is this the guy that many years ago, the conservative, is this conservative showing libertarian constitutional roots kind of poking through a little bit? Because he's kind of pretty much gone statist on us. Well, he just blew all of the points that he almost had on his first attempt to redeem himself. And he says, he's quoted here, agreeing with Governor Inslee that the proper way to challenge it is in court. So we're going to continue to violate your rights until the courts decide whether or not your rights can continue to be violated or not. Well, the group Washington Strikes Back 1639 is providing affidavits for opponents to print out and fill in the blanks and file. That's using the courts. They're talking about lawfully using the court system to bring charges against the Attorney General, which there is was abundant probable cause that he has committed several crimes, actually, in the advancement of this 1639. So Knezovich, who first said, I will not enforce these unconstitutional laws, now is backpedaling and saying, well, he agrees with the governor that the proper way to challenge this is in court. But when presented with this option of presenting this in court to strike I-1639, and in the same stroke, I guess, or two different double tap, pow-pow, bringing criminal charges against the Attorney General, he says he doesn't support that effort. He's not joining the hundreds, now thousands of citizens that are filling out affidavits, demanding that a judge look at the probable cause, the evidence to establish probable cause to justify bringing charges against the Attorney General, who took an oath to defend the Constitution and uphold it, and he is violating it six ways from Sunday and don't care. One last thing. I didn't pull up a Rhino Pack Stark Raving Mad article for you guys. I'm sorry. But you can always go to rhinopack.org and click on that Stark Raving Mad banner for that drop-down. I just got so much information to cover tonight. I just have so much. I'm not going to have time. So I want to remind you, Lieutenant Governor McEachin, she stood with a couple of guys from 3%ers at the Capitol and posed for a picture with them. She held her fingers up, her hands up, and this making a heart of a shape of a heart to symbolize, you know, hey, my heart goes out to you, specifically Todd Engel, whose conviction was a politically motivated conviction, who's in prison right now for ridiculous charges for his role in Nevada for the Bundy Ranch event where the Patriots stood toe-to-toe with some government agents that were acting unlawfully. He went down there, and he was one of a few people who were convicted, and he's still in prison. So they're trying to bring awareness to this. Standing with the governor. The governor saw what was happening. The lieutenant governor was completely aware of the mishandling of evidence and this inappropriate behavior of the federal government. She stood with these men who are from the 3%er groups. They're holding their finger up, the three fingers holding up, you know, to symbolize the number three for 3%. And the press went ballistic. The left is going berserk. And immediately they went to her Wikipedia page and started altering it and making her out to be some racist, skinhead, supporting wacko. They did the same thing to Representative Matt Shea. This is the same thing that they're doing to all of the conservatives that stand their ground and stand for the right thing and stand against government overreach and to stand for stand against abuses, to stand for our heritage, and they're just annihilating them in the press, and they're going to their Wikipedia pages and saying this person is tied to the way they paint it. This person has ties to white supremacists, standing up for extremist racist principles, and this holding up this symbol with their three fingers is really a secret symbol for skinheads and all this other fabricated garbage. It's called leftist communist propaganda. So they really clobbered her with this, and so I sent her an email. I asked several of you guys to as well, saying, we support you. You've done nothing wrong. Thank you for standing for government accountability and for a government to act lawfully and to stay within the bounds and to free the people that were convicted on politically motivated premises. You can go to her lgo.idaho.gov/contact-us/. Okay, just go. You can actually just do an internet search and say, type in Lieutenant Governor McEachin, contact. That will take you to her official page. Click on that contact down and link. And you can also actually on that same page, you can schedule for her to invite her to come and speak to your group. So that might be something you might want to consider as well. And stand by her and let her know that you support her. Okay, don't forget to check out the Liberty State rifle, the official rifle poll. It's still going on. And so go and let us know which rifle you think should be the rifle as designated as the official rifle of Liberty State. All right, Alerts USA weekly summary from their intelligence briefing coming up right now.
This is an Alert USA Threat Journal National Situation Update for the week ending Saturday, March 9th, 2019. This week in security news, on 5 occasions this week, Alert USA subscribers were notified via SMS messages to their mobile devices regarding safety and security matters. Most important for this update, on Friday, Alert USA subscribers were notified of the potential for older GPS devices to fail or report faulty data beginning April 6th of this year, due to what is called a GPS weak number rollover. This situation is particularly important if the older GPS units are in use in planes, boats, and other applications where precise time and location data is essential for safety as well as in critical public infrastructure. Here's the situation. The Global Positioning System is a U.S.-owned utility that consists of a nominal constellation of 24 satellites that transmit one-way signals, which not only helps you understand your precise position or how to get to some distant location, but also which provides precise timing information called Coordinated Universal Time to a wide variety of systems, including GPS receivers in cars, trucks, planes, and boats, but also critical infrastructure such as communications networks and power grids. The problem arises in how the timestamp of the signal is encoded. Older GPS receivers define time using 10 bits to count GPS weak numbers. This representation can only cover a finite period of 1,024 weeks, otherwise known as a 19.7-year epoch. GPS time started on January the 6th of 1980, and the first GPS time epoch rollover occurred 1,024 weeks later on August the 21st of 1999. Count forward another 1,024 weeks, and that brings us to April the 6th of 2019, just 4 weeks away. While newer GPS receivers from major manufacturers are likely fully compliant with updated GPS interface control standards and should handle the upcoming rollover just fine, those receivers manufactured 10 or more years ago which have not had their firmware updated may very well become unreliable including providing incorrect time tags, which could corrupt navigation data. And depending on the application within which the GPS receiver is used, this could be particularly dangerous. While government departments and agencies have been preparing for the data rollover for some years now, as have many GPS device makers, one certainly cannot make the same claim for the myriad of end users, be they general aviation pilots, recreational sailors, cash-strapped municipalities, utilities and public works, etc. Further, in April of 2018, the Department of Homeland Security issued a memo warning federal, state, local, and private sector organizations of the upcoming rollover, as well as the fact that tests of some GPS devices revealed that not all manufacturer implementations will correctly handle the April 6th rollover. While this is certainly not an end-of-the-world scenario, the upcoming rollover could indeed cause problems across a host of areas. Alert USA strongly encourages listeners to evaluate their personal situation. Outside of the GPS receiver in your smartphone, which is likely to be unaffected by the rollover, if you use legacy GPS receivers in any other area of your existence, such as in your car, boat, private plane, or on the job, to track position, for navigation assistance, or to acquire precise timestamps, it is important that you take a few minutes and contact the manufacturer to see how they are handling the rollover and, where possible, to install the latest firmware. You can find more on this and other stories, including a spring break travel alert for Mexico issued by the U.S. State Department in this week's issue of the Threat Journal newsletter. If you're not already a subscriber, visit ThreatJournal.com and sign up today. The publication is free and will remain that way. Alert USA continues to monitor the overall domestic and international threat environment and will immediately notify service subscribers via SMS.
Whatever happened to the fear of God? Whatever happened to church on Sunday? Whatever happened to the velvet glove and the iron fist? Good old-fashioned brutality.
This is segment two, brought to you by Selkirk Mountain Real Estate. SelkirkMountainRealEstate.com. For help getting you strategically located to the northern part of the panhandle of Idaho, SelkirkMountainRealEstate.com, helping patriots every day. Check them out. All right. Now, just before I took a break, I was talking about this propaganda machine that is grinding forward. This is going to be a short segment here. I run this this little Google alert type of thing that flags anything having to do with American Redoubt in it. And, of course, there's this Zach Hegedorn over here at – where was this from? I have to go back and pull up my the link. It was there it is. The Pacific Northwest Inlander. Well, if it's got Inlander in it – don't take a grain of salt. Take like 5 pounds of salt with it. But the kooks conquer Idaho. This is journalism, okay? Objective journalism. He starts off, when Germany destroyed the town hall of Peronne, France in 1916, a handful of the Kaiser troops erected a placard, and it says in translation, "Don't be angry, just be amazed." So this is what he's saying. Don't be angry. Just be amazed. When he sees this picture of the Lieutenant Governor McEachin, standing with these three percenters. So this is how he starts off his stupid little article. And I call it stupid because, well, it is. So he gives a little bit of the backdrop about Todd Engel going to prison and the Bundy Ranch and so on and so forth. And then he goes and he says, I'm not going to wring my hands over these guys holding these. Basically, what I think it's disturbing about it, particularly noxious, he says, is how, I quote, how deeply anti-government, militia-inspired kooks have penetrated mainstream Idaho politics. Well, I would submit that people like you are just actually what you find particularly noxious is that the Marxist, Leninist, communist perverts have not been able to penetrate the mainstream Idaho politics like you were hoping to. See, it's the heart of the American redoubt, which you loathe and you hate, because this gesture, this gesture was not racist. It's not anti-government. And I'm going to read something to you from the three percenters responding to Governor Inslee. Very clearly, I can tell you the three percenters are not anti-government. Oh, there may be a few anarchists among them, but far fewer anarchists than you'll find in today's Antifa or resist groups. Militia-inspired kooks. Okay, first of all, militia is part of our American heritage, and without them, we wouldn't even have a country to give you the freedoms to write your tripe, ripping on people that are trying to still preserve that American heritage and those core values that made America exceptional. So this is kind of interesting how they, the self-loathing here, but what they really loathe is people that are fighting to preserve Americanism. And he says, anyone who's watched McEachin over the past few years knows how ready she is to legitimize the menagerie of weirdos. Weirdos. See? Remember what I said. What's the terminology? What's the sequence? Marginalize. Right? Then demonize. And then criminalize. And then incarcerate. And then exterminate. So, here we are. We are marginalizing them. They're just weirdos who think they live in some place called the American Redoubt. No, we do. See, we don't think we do. We do. We actually do. And you hate it because you've not been able to penetrate it with your Marxism. Although you keep trying, got to give you credit there. A fever dream of transplanted, this is what you guys are. Listen, this is what he says you are. So it must be true. A fever dream of transplanted nationalists. By the way, that is not a burn. To be called a transplanted nationalist, really what that means is that you have emigrated, you've strategically relocated, and you are an American patriot. But to this guy, you're a transplanted nationalist, which nationalist by today's Marxist terms is that's a bad thing in their minds, just so you know. Burnouts and millenarian John Birchers. Okay, burnouts and millenarian, I guess millennia type aged John Birchers, which is actually another compliment. I don't know what he means by burned out. See, so what he says is these guys are a bunch of burnouts, right? That's all they are. But then you're so mad when we're not burned out. We're actually energized. We inject ourselves into our communities. I mean, we engage our communities. We are actively involved. We're not just burnouts. People just sit there and just want to sit around with our guns and our Bibles. And we're actually doing something and getting involved, trying to make a difference. And then now you're mad at us. But then you call us burnouts. But then you're upset when we become active. So you're just so confused. So millenarian John Birchers, this is interesting because John Birchers, I mean, this has been a longtime communist watchdog that produced the New American publication. These guys they do so much research, so much fact checking into their information. You want to know your heritage? Hang around with the John Birch Society and start investing in the books and DVDs that they produce. Amazing. I mean, it's right there with wall builders level of stuff to learn your heritage. But what I keyed in on is the word millenarian, like as in millennial, as in young people. And this scares them. They want to attack this really badly now because the John Birchers has always been a bunch of old blue hair, white hair, old fuddy duds. We really don't care about American stuff because all we got to do is just wait for him to die, which will be like next week. But now we're seeing young people. So you start to see this term, millenarian John Birchers. Oh, that sounds bad. I don't want to be one of those. Don't fall for it. So look at her own campaign website, he says, for a torturous hour-long video. Oh, gosh, this is I love her already. If she's torturing a leftist with a video, she must be doing something right. So a torturous must be horrible for him to have to have sat through and watched. Hour-long video interview with the so-called Redoubt News. Looking for the Aer Lingus poster in the background. Isn't that literally white flight? I don't know. Maybe. I'd never heard of it. I think Charles Carroll Society and many others that are people of color would probably take exception with your inference. But there's a picture of her grinning alongside Ammon Bundy. Well, that's a sin. At a gun rally in Boise. A gun rally, too! That's two sins stacked on top of each other. His words were truly inspiring, she wrote, and that scares you too. So anyway, I thought this was just really interesting. Just kind of see what type of gum flapping the leftists that are threatened by the American Redoubt. Look, here's the thing. If they see you as a threat that they have to try to tear down and attack and malign, you're on target, baby. If you're taking flack, you're over the target. So I say bomb the heck out of them with Americanism, with our history, with our Christian roots, with the rule of law. And we just keep doing what we do. We exercise our rights. We fight for our rights. And more by the droves are moving to the American Redoubt, strengthening it all the time. And let these little demoniacs writhe over it. Who cares? And you know what? We need to produce more videos to torture them with that they have to sit through and watch. I'm all for it. They sit and listen to, torturously listen to Radio Free Redoubt. That's why they don't hit me that much, because I really don't write that many articles, hardly ever. They have to actually sit through a Radio Free Redoubt show, and they hate it. They're like, they can't take talking about God, talking about our heritage, talking about Americanism, talking about nationalism. They're waiting for that one little nugget for me to say black people are dumb or some stupid like that. And but they don't ever get it because they don't really truly understand us. They never will. We'll be right back with segment three coming up. I've got some stuff I definitely want to share with you. This is the voice of the American Redoubt.
Hello folks, Shelby Gallagher here, wanting to let you know about a great event coming up, the Puget Sound Preparedness Expo. It's on Saturday, March 30th at the Baymont Inn and Suites in Bremerton, Washington.
It's going to be great. This is Glenn Tate here. We're going to have John Jacob Schmidt speaking, Representative Matt Shea, simulcast on 1400 AM KITZ Radio. Look for us on Facebook, Puget Sound Preparedness Expo 2019. Come on out and see us.
When a person desires respectability of people more than they stand in awe and fear of God, they sell out.
Welcome back. This is segment three of Radio Free Redoubt, and segment three is brought to you by Strategic Landscape Design. Designs to keep you safe and to help you thrive, help you get the most out of your land for defensibility, for food production, for water production, and water acquisition, and including your acquisition and securing of your water rights. The approach, the slope, the runoff, what you want to get the most out of your land, they'll put an assessment together and even help you compare properties. If you haven't made a decision, you're undecided and want some help, they also travel outside the American Redoubt to help with those services. So give them a call or check them out. Go to their website first. That's your first step. StrategicLandscapeDesign.com. Now, last week, I annihilated the domestic section of my interview with Steve Oxtokolnis from Alerts USA. And we corresponded this week, but we were just not able to get our schedules, you know, lined up. So I'm looking forward to following up with that. And hopefully you appreciate those weekly threat summaries that are put out, the threat journal that are put out. And we'll run those for a while and see if you guys like them and like to hear your feedback on those. We'll continue running that in that segment, probably right off the tail end of the news and commentary because it ties in with news. All right. We've got some stuff going on, speaking of the news. Sheriffs. There's an epidemic of sheriffs who are saying they're not going to enforce this constitution, these unconstitutional laws. It's primarily going on in the West, but we're actually seeing it spread beyond the Western states. But I want to start off with this one. In New Mexico, this is out of Breitbart, New Mexico Governor Michelle Lujan Grisham signed legislation Friday to criminalize private gun sales in the state. So apparently, it's been reported that there's been a great divide over the bill, with state-level Democrats pushing it while gun rights groups, the vast majority of New Mexico's sheriffs, and New Mexico county governments who are opposing this bill. Well, it's going to become law, but of course it's unconstitutional. Grisham dismissed those who did not support the gun control push. Of course, they dismiss everybody who's not on board with their statist Marxist globalist agenda, saying, "It's clear to me that the NRA isn't going to stop trying to meddle in making this a safer state." That your job, Governor, is not to make it a safer state. Your job is to defend. Actually, your job is to execute the laws of that are passed by the legislature, but you are to execute those in a way that upholds and defends the individual rights. That's the oath part of your job that you don't understand. And besides that, it has been debunked many times that these laws, that all of these laws that you want to pass, have been debunked as contributing to safety, because admittedly, you guys admit that whatever measure you put in place would not have stopped the last shooting that you're reacting to. But you're the one who keeps trying to meddle. And this is an interesting perspective. It's clear to me that the NRA isn't going to stop trying to meddle in making this a safer state. Well, it's clear to us that you, leftists, Marxists, aren't going to stop trying to meddle in us taking responsibility for our own safety. And you are not going to stop trying to meddle in the individual rights of the citizens, as you promised you would when you rose your hand with probably your finger, your hand with behind your back with your fingers crossed, evidently. So it brings us to this next portion here, this epidemic that we're seeing. Maryland sheriff won't enforce the new gun law, saying it's a suicide mission. And this is where people are drawing the line and saying, you know what? Enough's enough. You can pass all the laws you want, and we'll just go about our lives. But when you start to enforce these unconstitutional laws, we've had enough. Well, there's a lot of law enforcement people that are saying, I ain't going to do it because it's unconstitutional. And others are saying, I'm not going to enforce it because I would like to live. So Maryland's House Bill 786 is a quote-unquote suicide mission for law enforcement, according to sheriffs from three Maryland counties. Blue Lives Matter reported that they told the Maryland Assembly that taking guns away from citizens would cause citizens to shoot at officers, and the laws were unconstitutional, so they will not comply. Bingo, that's the real reason. Wicomico County Sheriff Mike Lewis testified, "The way the bill is written, it is impossible to comply." It sounds like Washington. These people are all playing from the same playbook. Almost all their stuff is boilerplate. This is not unique, just popped up in Washington. You got these leftist globalist billionaires that are making it their pet project to push these pieces of legislation through in multiple states simultaneously. That's why they all come across. When sheriffs look at it, they're going, it's not even possible to comply with this the way it's written. And they're all saying it from one end of the country to the other. And he said, "I can't send my deputies on a suicide mission. The Maryland County Sheriff made those comments shortly after testifying in opposition to House Bill 786. Not really, had really, I'm sure, nothing to do with the officer safety, although that is a consequence of this. He probably is pro-Second Amendment, pro-Constitution. He takes his oath to the Constitution seriously. But as a side note, you're also going to get my deputies killed. So I wonder why. Would that be when the state police come to arrest him and his deputies for not enforcing the law? I mean, these guys are stuck between a hard place and a rock. So anyway, it takes me. Let's go to the next story. Colorado counties declare themselves Second Amendment sanctuaries in response to this red flag gun bill, which they're saying is unconstitutional. Now, what's happening, though, is you're seeing sheriffs, county commissioners, chiefs of police. It's not this militia-inspired wacko weirdos that are saying this is unconstitutional. Now, could we say that all these sheriffs and all these county commissioners are anti-government? Or is there something more going on here? I mean, because the SPLC, I'm sure, they're already trying to figure out how they can paint out all these sheriffs and all of these county commissioners, all these elected officials who are saying, I took my oath to uphold and defend the Constitution seriously. They're trying to figure out how to wordsmith this to make all these elected officials anti-government weirdos. So you can pick out one or two and try to make the case for it. Yeah, this is a guy gone rogue. This is a extremist, you know, one of those constitutionalists. It's kind of hard to do that when it's happening across the country. Now, I was at a meeting earlier this past week. I mentioned it yesterday on the show, and there was multiple legislators there and activists and folks in the Patriot community, people who in positions where they have influence and an audience and are connected. And this came up. It came up by a couple different sources now that I'm trying to confirm. I'm trying to get them to get something to confirm this, so we have something to point to, so we're not accused of just making things up without verifying. So I'm trying to verify, but this is what I know now. And I wouldn't even mention this if I hadn't heard it from two separate sources. Attorney General Bob Ferguson reportedly traveled to Oregon to meet with others, apparently AGs, attorneys general, and other elected officials that are on the hardcore leftist Marxist-Leninist side of the camp, to discuss this epidemic of sheriffs and other law enforcement heads who will not enforce all these new red flags and other unconstitutional gun control legislation and these governor-initiated executive orders that we're starting to see. Now, what was interesting also was that the SPLC was mentioned as having representation at this strategic meeting with these leftist elected officials. You see where things are going here? So remember what I said. I'm going to say it again. Dissenters. And this is what they're doing. We're talking Christians, conservatives, patriots, constitutionalists, which, by the way, is a really bad word. Constitutionalist. Ooh. Say it again. Constitutionalist. Ooh. Right? First, they're going to marginalize you. Then comes the demonization and criminalization and incarceration, then extermination. But I added another one. I was talking on Patriot Radio with Matt Shea week before last. And I said, but you know what? I've added in another one. In between demonization and criminalization, there's something else. It's called litigation. But I'm going to add even another one here. In between demonization and criminalization, there is litigation and character assassination. And this is what I believe, if it's true, when I get to the bottom of this and confirm and verify that the SPLC really was at this meeting, they can only be there for one reason: for the litigation and character assassination component of this series of oppressing a people. And right now they're trying to figure out what to do with this epidemic of elected officials that they can't call anti-government. They're just going to have to call them extremists. They're going to have to call them insurgents. This is what they're going to say. The American Redoubt kooks have infiltrated the government. These right-wing extremist constitutionalists have infiltrated the government, causing our streets not to be safe anymore. So this is how they're going to do it. And then they're also going to annihilate them, attempt to annihilate them through litigation, lawsuits, liability lawsuits and things like this. So we'll see. That's my suspicion. That's what I suspect. That is my opinion and my opinion only, although it's shared by many of you. But Redoubt News ran an article just this last, last week, I believe. Washington 3% responds to the SPLC. See, the SPLC already trying to demonize these guys and character assassination. So they wrote an open letter to the SPLC. He says, I'm going to just read parts of this. It has come to our attention that the Southern Poverty Law Center is now planning to classify the Washington 3% as a quote-unquote white nationalist anti-government militia. Well, of course, Matt, that's what they do. They are also claiming that all of the Washington sheriffs that refuse to enforce Initiative 1639 have ties to white nationalism. Of course they do. We work tirelessly to support and build the communities. We feed and clothe the homeless. We are FEMA CERT trained and support all emergency responders. We believe that all humans are born with inalienable rights and that our Constitution protects us as Americans from the government taking those basic rights. We do not discriminate against anyone for any reason. Well, I do. I discriminate against communists, but these guys say they don't. Okay, so we'll take them at their word. I hope they discriminate against communists. That's communists is a bad thing. You should discriminate against them because they're the enemy that are trying to destroy our country. With that said, we have solicited to the sheriffs across the state and have attended many county meetings in an effort to pass Second Amendment sanctuary ordinances. Well, it doesn't sound very SPLC. It doesn't sound like these guys are very anti-government if they're actually trying to be involved with the government to help pass ordinances. But it's your story, right? They're anti-government. Okay. All right. Currently, we have six counties, Cowlitz, Ferry, Frank. Oh, I forgot to mention Ferry County, Franklin County, Lincoln County, Mason County, Stevens County, that have passed resolutions against I-1639. Yeah, there's more added to it since then. This has drawn attention from the Attorney General Bob Ferguson. And he's issued public threats against the sheriffs who have stood against the measure, to include threatening to send the state patrol to arrest Sheriff Bob Songer. This is what this is. This is from this letter. Wow. Remember what I said? I called this out, man, a long time ago. This is what's going to happen. The sheriffs are going to stand for the Constitution. And then people like Bob Ferguson, they're going to have to call out the state police to come in there to enforce his unconstitutional law. And this is where headbutting is going to start. And potentially, I could see this. What's going to happen when they say, well, that's obviously not cutting it, because the sheriffs just arrested our state police, so now we got to call out the National Guard. He says, to be clear, Washington 3% is tired of watching other gun groups and so-called conservatives negotiate with inalienable birthrights of the people. The government does not have the authority to grant or restrict our birthrights. The Constitution does not grant us these rights. It forbids the government from taking them from us. Yet the government is taking away our rights, and the people have been letting them. All right. He says, we are not anti-government. We are very pro-constitutional government. Of course, as soon as you're pro-constitutional, you're anti-government. According to leftist logic. He says, but our government is no longer following their own rules. Bingo. We have out-of-control federal bureaucracies with weaponized district attorneys. And that is a perfect word to use in this political warfare that's happening. They have weaponized district attorneys and others. But see, these 3%er groups and these militia-inspired types of people, they're standing ready to serve their sheriffs and their county commissioners, the local communities. That doesn't sound anti-government to me. It sounds anti-rogue government. They're willing to stand with a legitimate government who's passing illegitimate laws, unlawful laws, which we're going to talk about. in the next segment. But I wanted to share something with you guys, because I always said if I ever get approached, I'm going to call it out. I'm going to say it. I'm going to let you guys know. So this about 10 days ago, I was contacted by the FBI, and I was actually kind of surprised that it hadn't come sooner with my message and the platform, and that they hadn't tried to reach out to me sooner. But two agents from the Joint Terrorism Task Force reached out to me just to touch bases with me and just introduce themselves and let them know. Well, actually, they started off like this. We just want to reach out to you to talk to you about your involvement at Mal here. Because they said they're trying to get to the bottom of, you know, what motivated people, what made them finally go, all right, I'm going, right? And so they can avoid a confrontation in the future. And so the FBI is trying to understand what makes people tick and what makes them, you know, what's the trigger mechanism that makes people say, okay, this is where I've had enough and I'm jumping in and doing something. Well, of course, I had to remind him, or I had to tell him, correct him, because I've never been to Malheur. And that's the truth. I've never been to the wildlife refuge out there in Oregon at Malheur. Not before that event, not during that event, and not after the event, ever. I've never been there. So I asked him, who told you? Actually, I'm curious, who told you that I was there? Because I've never been there, and I know that I've never been there because I'm me. So I've been on the inside of me all my life. And I know where I've been and where I haven't been, and I know I've never been to Malheur. But you're calling me on the premise that I've been there, and you're just trying to get inside my head to find out what made me decide to go. And I'm wondering, what made you think, A, that I was even there, and B, what makes you think that I would be helpful to you in this investigation that you got going on? Why do you think I would be able to help you? Especially since I've never been there. So, to the first question, why do you think that I was even there? Who told you that I was there? He says, well, you know, these are from interviews and stuff that we've had from people. Well, okay, who? Well, I don't have that. I don't have it in front of me, the name. It's just, these are just kind of like side notes from a whole series of talking to people that we've been talking to. And so your name came up as one of the people that would be there that we thought we might want to follow up with. I said, well, I don't know. Well, I need to know who's giving you this misinformation and telling you that I was there in the first place. We don't know, because all we know is this is just as a result of conversations with people that we got their names from scanned license plates. Let's let that sit there for a second. Now, they said, we want to let you know that we're not the boogeymen. We're just here, just like you. We're veterans. We want to make sure the law is followed, and we want to avoid any confrontations in the future. That's the whole purpose of this call, is to ask what you think we can do to help avoid things like the Bundy Ranch standoff and Malheur and things like that in the future. Now, I had to tell him, okay, first of all, I don't think you're the boogeyman. Actually, I believe these guys, there's a very high probability the guys that I was talking to are actually truly patriots. They believe in the rule of law. But see, I don't know them, so I have to keep a distance because I don't know their hearts, and I will probably never get a chance to. So believe that they probably are patriots, but I don't know. So, sorry, we can't be friends. We're not enemies, but we're not friends. Just keep a very professional interaction, and that's it. But I told them, look, you guys understand. No, first of all, I said, if you listened to me at all, and they said they had listened to Radio Free Data quite a bit. In fact, they said that we actually, to be honest, we actually agree with 99% of what you say. Which, of course, makes sense. I mean, I've been contacted by listeners from every branch of the military, special operations community, people that are in law enforcement, retired and active, corrections officers to sheriff's deputies to not every three-letter agency, because there's so many of them. Many of the three-letter agencies have contacted me and just saying, hey, man, thank you for what you're doing and thank you for your voice. That's all I wanted to say. I just want to let you know we're out here and appreciate what you're doing. And that's it. They're not asking anything from me. They're not trying to exploit me. They're just saying, keep up the great work. Thank you for your message. I just want to know that, want you to know that we're out here and we get it. And there's good guys, white hats on the inside. So I'm like, that's cool. Thank you. So these guys could be those kind of guys too. And I've always liked the FBI. I've always loved the FBI. In my mind, they're like, they are the epitome of professional. They're by the book. And I told them this. And I've always looked at the FBI as the Boy Scouts, right? You follow the rules, the patriot, professionals, of course. He says, well, a Boy Scouts is kind of less than flattering, but I understand what you're saying and appreciate that. You know, that we're not the boogeyman. I said, no, I don't think you guys are the boogeyman. We need the FBI, really. We need there's kidnappings. There's bankers. My child gets kidnapped. There's the best resources in the world for investigating, the highest probability of tracking them down, getting my child back, and bringing the person to justice. I want the FBI on it. Bank robbery. Real counterterrorism. Like hunting down real terrorists. But I, you know, correct myself. I have to say I love the idea of the FBI. But there's some trust issues. Guys that are listening in the FBI, I know you guys know this, especially if you're patriots. I've had people express to me the frustration of these different bureaucracies or bureaus, offices, agencies that have said they have been really frustrated because of stuff that have happened. The top-down level. All right, there's corruption at the top, and it's totally different. I told them this is just like the Pentagon versus the boots on the ground guys. Two totally different worlds, different people, different breed. They think differently. They act. They're motivated by different things. The guys up at the top, very politically connected, and I get that. But the guys at the bottom, carrying out orders. And I don't know where you stand. And the problem with the FBI is they will follow the orders. It's the law. It's the law now. If Christians are, Bibles are banned and you're smuggling Bibles, the law has just been passed, they will enforce the law. They're like robotic about it, which is a good thing because they try to be objective. The good agents out there try to truly be objective and just uphold the law and stay apolitical, stay out of the politics of it and just enforce the law. The problem, guys, and I told these guys this, and the other people in law enforcement, the other agencies and stuff like that, you guys are going to have to make a hard choice and probably coming up pretty soon. The problem with the FBI, especially other agencies as well to some degree, but the FBI especially will not question the constitutionality or the lawfulness of a law to say, you know what? I'm not going to enforce that. That is complete violation of my oath and the Constitution. To them, it's like the law is the law. That's why we are concerned. And also, there's a track record there. Because they said, you know, we just want to try to understand what makes the people get involved in stuff like this. You know, the Bundy Ranch or Malheur. And, you know, the reasons why they get involved so we can avoid things like this again in the future. They said, you got a voice and a lot of influence and you can come in contact with a lot of people. So we're just wondering if you knew if something was going down that you'd give us a heads up. Well, okay, I'd stop, time out right there. Let's clear something up. This is recorded. I sent the recording to several key people that for accountability, for mentors and people that are I consider, you know, in authority that I'm accountable to. So they know exactly what was said and what wasn't said. And I told them straight up, I said, let me tell you something right now. I will never be an informant for you, volunteer or paid or otherwise, that will highlight or bring attention to other patriots simply because they've attended a rally or because he said, well, no, we're not talking about that. We're concerned about like Timothy McVeigh or that guy in Spokane who set those bombs at the parade route. You know, a few years ago for the Martin Luther King Day, the white nationalist guy, the Aryan Nations guy that planted those bombs. That's what we're talking about. I'm saying, okay, first of all, you don't have to make a special call to me. I don't know of anybody in my circle, of all the people that I know, I don't know of anybody who, if they became aware of a Timothy McVeigh type of bombing, would not say something. Somebody is going to set a bomb. Anybody. I don't care who it is. If it's Ahmed or if it's Timothy McVeigh, if they're parking a truck that's going to kill everybody in a daycare and all these civilians in a radius of, I'm going to say something. I don't know of anybody who wouldn't. Oh, we're not trying to, you know, develop you like a, you know, an informant or, you know, that type of thing. That's not what we're trying to do, which is actually a really, really good thing. Maybe they haven't read my Underground series or listened to the Underground series. But anyway, there's some issues I'm going to talk about in segment four. Guys that are in the agencies, you need to listen to this because this is what you're up against. All right, you know that we're not anti-government. I appreciate you guys that are patriots. But you have to also understand why we're concerned. Okay, because we brought up some of these guys going rogue, even in the FBI, making bad decisions. Okay, I want you to lock that in. Keep that in mind. So I'm going to follow up with that when we come back. This is Radio Free Redoubt. And we're talking to specifically the FBI in segment 3 and 4. And, of course, this is for the patriots. This is John Jacob Schmidt, and we'll be back in a moment. Are you prepared for an economic, socio-political collapse in America? Do you wonder how something like that could be possible? What would that even look like? I recommend Glenn Tate's 10-book series titled 299 Days. From a lawyer and government insider's perspective, he lays out a plausible scenario that could very well come about if we continue on the path we're on as a country. Through his fictional character, he lays out his own real-life journey to prepare himself and his family for the possibility of a future full of difficult challenges and what seem like impossible choices. 299 Days is a high-action dystopian novel written from the perspective of the average Joe American and outlines realistic plans and action steps that you could implement to prepare yourself and those around you for the difficult possibilities ahead. Go to 299days.com to learn more. Segment 4, the final segment here at Radio Free Redoubt. I've got more material than I will have time to cover, but maybe I'll just do a part 2 next week, but that's okay. Works Holsters makes custom-made Kydex holsters and magazine carriers, and they're made right here in the American Redoubt with a lifetime guarantee on all their products, including the series that they have available with the Liberty State flag or the Liberty State seal, your choice, and proceeds go from those sales to help support Liberty State. So, and thank you guys for supporting our sponsors, Works.com. All right. Now, the FBI isn't the boogeyman. All right. We get that. I know most of them are patriots. Most of the guys on the ground, they're frustrated when somebody steps out of line. And you know, you go to CBS News here. An internal FBI report kept under wraps for 3 years details dozens of cases of agents fired for egregious misconduct and crimes, including drug trafficking, attempted murder, theft, misuse of informants, consorting with prostitutes, blah, 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 blah. It goes on and on. Okay. One report released by Senator Charles Grassley out of Iowa found that about 1 in 1,000 agents was dismissed for serious misconduct or criminal offenses by the FBI during the period examined from 1986 to 1999. Now, I brought up the situation with the federal agents who fired on Lavoy Finicum and then covered up the evidence. And these guys were like, yeah, you look, these guys, sometimes agents, individual agents do bad things. And you know what? I get that. I don't think it's the whole agency. I think it's individual agents. But agents, please keep that in mind when you are talking to patriots, because most of us are God-fearing freedom-loving, productive business owners. We are family people. We love doing barbecues and going on motorcycle rides and living our lives just like every other American, but we're concerned about the direction that our country is going, and we want to be involved. And some people are so inspired by our founding fathers and what they went through, and they told us we would probably have to fight for liberty. They told us you're going to have to. At some point, you're going to have to fight to keep this. And some of us take that to heart. And we know that the patriots who fought to make this country what it is, they were terrorists. And it's interesting now, you have today's counterterrorism joint terrorism task force contacting patriots, wondering what their next move is going to be. Now, largely this is because, by the way, I didn't mention there are a bunch of patriots in my world that have been contacted recently by the FBI. And everybody's like, why now? All the silence, all of a sudden the FBI is reaching out. Hey, mind talking to us about, you know, what makes people tick and why they would do something like this? And we're just curious. Maybe you could shed some light. And the reason why was because the patriots learned their bloody lesson. And they're not blabbing their mouths about fighting tyranny so much anymore on social media. And what's happened with all this I-594 and all of this gun stuff, they see a rumbling, but for the most part, the patriot community is like quiet, like eerily quiet. And this has got the guys in the joint counterterrorism task forces a little nervous. Let's start making some phone calls and find out what's going on inside these guys' heads, because this should be something that, like, the troops would be rallying right now, and guns are coming out and people are marching, and there's like silence for the most part. So we want you guys to understand, just like every once in a while, FBI goes, individual FBI agents make bad choices and they get prosecuted for it and they get fired for it and everything else. There's been enough where it hasn't happened. And there's been enough overreach that has been buried. We also have seen this new directives now describing conservative Christian, even militias that are legitimate militias, being lumped in with this counterterrorism, domestic terrorism stuff, when you're looking the other way while Islam is pounding down our front and back doors. And this is frustrating. The other thing that we're very leery of, several things. First of all, the Higgins memo. The Higgins memo that came out really outlining the overthrow of the executive branch of our government. This is a national security aide, National Security Council, who has a background in irregular warfare, saw what was going on in our country, where the Department of Justice, parts of our intelligence community, were weaponized against President Trump to try to overthrow him and the executive branch of our government. And part of the apparatus that was used was the FBI. Now, we know that's not you guys in the boots on the ground. We're talking like Comey-level stuff. Now, the fact is, it's the same agency. It's the same agency that the previous administration, which will not be named, tried to use the FBI and DHS and everybody else to weaponize them against patriots. We know that's coming back around. So while this corruption is going on, why are you looking at investigating patriots? You should be investigating not what patriots are up to. You need to look deeper into why patriots are doing what they're doing. Let me give you a few examples. And I know this is going to be hands-off for you. No field agent is going to touch this one with a 10-foot pole. And I don't blame you. Senator Harry Reid's son had a deal with the Chinese to build solar farms on Nevada land that was previously owned by ranchers who were ran off their land by BLM. Pushing ranchers off their land in Nevada with Senator Harry Reid in Senator Harry Reid's district. the same Harry Reid, who was calling patriots domestic terrorists. These aren't patriots. These are nothing but domestic terrorists. Those are his words in his district, in the same place where his son is doing a deal with the Chinese to have access to all of that land to put in massive solar farms using the BLM, which incidentally was ran by Harry Reid's former aide, Neil Cornsey, was placed in charge of the BLM, the leading agency that was in charge of running ranchers off these properties. So the same properties, the same land that Harry Reid's son and the Chinese had inspiration or aspirations of putting in solar farms. This is corruption. I know you guys aren't going to put that together, but there they are. Bombshell report, Harry Reid behind the BLM land grab. There's so much stuff out there. There's corruption there. Daniel Love, BLM agent who led the assault on Bundy Ranch. He's been fired. There is so much. I've got a list that I don't have time to even go over right here. Scratching the surface of the frivolous stuff is where he's misused resources during the Burning Man event. What 2015? But then comes the Wooten letter exposing abuse, religious bigotry. There are so many crimes that were committed by this guy that I don't have time to even go into all of these. I'm going to post this. I'm probably going to do an expanded version of segment 4 next week. I'm going to go into the specifics of what this guy did because there's other stuff I want to come back to. The other thing, too, is that the FBI is building a network that rivals the Stasi of East Germany. And the problem is you are exploiting patriots to try to take down other patriots. And it's so tempting because, A, they're paid often, and, B, they're allowed to break the law. So they can have all the cool full auto, short barrel rifle type of stuff to try to link up with others so that they'll make a SBR, short-barreled rifle also. I mean, this obviously guy can't be this couldn't be a sting operation because he's got a short-barreled rifle. And he's breaking the law, so obviously I should be able to get away with it too, sucking people in. Now, I don't think you should have a short-barreled rifle right now in this political environment or a full-auto rifle for various different reasons, but the advantage of having something like the tactical advantages of something like that is heavily outweighed by the consequences right now because of the laws that are in place. So if I had any ambitions of having one of those type of rifles, I would just go ahead and pay the tax stamp. But I'm too cheap and poor to buy a $200 tax stamp just so I can have a 11-inch barrel. So I run a regular length 16-inch barrel. But see, 5,939 times in 2014, the FBI supplied the Justice Department with a list of authorized, otherwise illegal activities committed by informants every year. The mandate was put into place after it was revealed that mobster Whitey Bulger was a bureau snitch. According to the FBI's report for 2012, informants broke the law at least 5,939 of them. That year in 2012. So you're developing a informant network. You're allowing them to break the law so that they can put something illegal in some patriot's hands. Hey, you want to have a shot at it? Here, go ahead and take it. I'm going to put a magazine through this. It's awesome. Here, put it in their hands. Boom, busted. And we don't trust you because of this kind of stuff. I don't know why we have forcible vaccination of children regardless of your religious or philosophical or ideological views with no exemptions. And the government's job is to uphold and defend the rights of the citizens. And they're acting unlawfully, violation of the Constitution, taking firearms under these red flag laws People are fed up with it, and they're ready to draw a line in the sand because they can't take it anymore. Because the government is, many government agencies are breaking the law, and they're saying it's the law. Title 18, U.S. Code 242, Deprivation of Rights Under the Color of Law, says, whoever under color of any law, statute, ordinance, regulation, or custom willfully subjects any person in any state, territory, commonwealth, possession, or district to the deprivation of any rights, privileges, or immunities secured or protected by the Constitution or the laws of the United States, or then, of course, goes into different or different punishments, pains, or penalties on account of such person being an alien or by reason of his color or race, then are prescribed for the punishment of citizens, shall be fined under this title or imprisoned not more than 1 year or both. So in other words, it is a misdemeanor if you deprive somebody else's rights under the color of law. We're just following the law. That's actually illegal for you to do that. That was pretty much settled in the Nuremberg trials. You can't do unlawful things while following the law when it's an unlawful thing. And our concern is that there's not going to be any discernment on behalf of the FBI agents when you're saying we're going to stay non-political. The law, we just want to focus on enforcing the law and stay out of the politics. But you can't. And pretty soon, you're going to be able to ride the fence only for so long. And I know it's tough. You guys are making $80,000 to $100,000 a year. You've got a job. You've got a family. You've got full benefits. And you're going to risk that? Most of us know that most of you will not risk that. You're going to follow orders. And see, we don't want to be in an adversarial relationship with you. We're just going about living our lives, and we just want to be free. But when you guys don't have to go out of your way to try to take good people down, there's enough bad people out there. So our hope is that, like, well, some good people under bad regimes, they look the other way and they save lives. But the Constitution Society talks about abuses and usurpations. And I'm going to close with this because I got a whole bunch more I want to cover, but I'm going to have to close. If you go to constitution.org, a couple quotes first. Find out just what the people will submit to, and you will, and you have found out the exact amount of injustice and wrong which will be imposed upon them. And these will continue until they are resisted with either words or blows or with both. The limits of tyrants are prescribed by the endurance of those whom they oppress. That was written by Frederick Douglass, a civil rights activist, in 1857. There's three laws of tyranny here that I want to share with you. Tyranny law number one, any power that can be abused will be abused. Tyranny law number two, abuse always expands to fill the limits of resistance to it. Tyranny law number three, if people don't resist the abuses of others, they will have no one to resist the abuses of themselves, and tyranny will prevail. Most of us that have had to stand up to a bully on the playground understand this concept. If you don't stand up to them, it gets worse and worse. Tyranny will expand to the level of your willingness to put up with it. Usurpation is the exercise of powers by an agent, not necessarily FBI agent here, we're talking about any agent of the state, which have not been delegated to him by the principal, that means the higher authority. In a constitutional republic like the United States of America, acts by officials are legitimate only if they are consistent with and based on a constitution, a body of laws, which are superior to all subsequent statutes and other acts of officials, which embodies all delegations of power, and which may recognize certain rights to further define the limits on the powers delegated. It is a fundamental principle that all acts of officials are not derived from the delegated powers of the Constitution, are null and void from inception, not just from the point at which a court may find them unconstitutional. Now, I'll get into everything fast and furious and other types of abuses, but I want to share with you, I've talked about this many times before, I'll bring it up again. It's a great place for it. The 16th American Jurisprudence, 195. This is our law. Okay, this is the foundation of our law, this American jurisprudence, which you guys know that because most of you guys, many of you have law degrees or you've gone through the FBI Academy. If you understand the fundamentals of law, which, by the way, if you haven't done so, please read the book by Frederick Bastiat titled The Law. Anyway, it says the general rule is that an unconstitutional statute, whether federal or state, though having the form and name of law, is in reality no law, but is wholly void and ineffective for any purpose. Since unconstitutionality dates from the time of its enactment and not merely from the date of the decision so branding it, an unconstitutional law is in legal contemplation is as inoperative as if it had never been passed and never existed. That is, it is void, ab initio. Such a statute leaves the question that it purports to settle just as it would be had the statute not been enacted. Let me reread that. Such a statute leaves the question that it purports to settle just as it would be had the statute not been enacted. Since an unconstitutional law is void, it follows that generally the statute imposes no duties, confers no rights, creates no office or liabilities, bestows no power or authority on anyone, affords no protection, is incapable of creating any rights or obligations, does not allow for the granting of any relief, and justifies no acts performed under it. Once a statute is determined to be unconstitutional, no private citizen or division of the state may take any further action pursuant to its provisions. A contract that rests on an unconstitutional statute creates no obligation to be impaired by subsequent legislation. No one is bound to obey an unconstitutional law, and no courts are bound to enforce it. A law contrary to the United States Constitution may not be enforced. Once a statute has been declared unconstitutional, courts thereafter have no jurisdiction over alleged violations. Persons convicted and fined under a statute subsequently held unconstitutional may recover the fines paid. And of course, I've got a lot more on this, but I'm going to go ahead and wrap up. Coming up a little over an hour and a half. Some of you guys just joining us because you forgot to change your clocks ahead? Well, it's all right. You can listen to the podcast and catch the first half of what you missed. I'm going to close with this. I listened to the audio file of the elected official delegation who went down to Burns, Oregon, and sat down with the State Police of Oregon, with the local sheriff representative, and the FBI. There was an FBI agent present. And one of the state representatives pointedly asked, "What laws have these guys broken?" And they all looked at each other dumbfounded. The sheriff said, "Well, we're not sure. We don't, none that we know of." The state representative, when the elected official said, "What state laws have been broken?" He said, "No state laws have been broken." And he looked at the FBI agent and said, "What laws have they broken?" And he says, "We don't know. I would have to check. We're not sure." Okay. So when they were pointedly asked about Malheur and the people that were occupying Malheur, they were pointedly asked what laws have they broken, and they couldn't even answer. And if they did answer, the answer was they've broken no laws. Then why was there a warrantless traffic stop to take people down at gunpoint, commit aggravated assault, and point guns at people that no crimes have been committed, admittedly, by the law enforcement there? This is the kind of stuff that has the patriots make. This is the kind of, you want to know what's making them tick? You know what's ticking them off? That kind of stuff. Guys, it's got to change. And it's got to start with you, the individual agent. Just something to think about. All right. You want to tell us that you're trying to convince us you're not the boogeyman? Well, guess what? Neither are we. You want to say we're just like you, you're just like us? Well, we're patriots. Are you just like us? God bless you guys. Be safe and toe a straight line, please. This is the Voice of the American Redoubt. Good night.